Okay, so today the idea is I just want to present the basic idea of local models and models of Shemur varieties with Iwahori level structure, but in a special case of the symplectic group. So this will be some moduli spaces of abelian varieties with polarization level structure. And but the two papers which I want to discuss, well, essentially, really, I'm going to discuss somehow the general story is described in both of them, and then there's some nice application of this here. And so I just want to sort of give some of the payoff that you get from studying these problems, even some payoff about good reduction questions. Okay, so the first thing is I wanted to talk about the idea of local models. Actually, I want to talk about something I'm just going to call local model diagrams. And this is just a very general kind of idea. And this is just my term for lack of something better. So what this is about is suppose you have some kind of thing over some ring of integers, some model. So it could be some integral model of a Shemur variety, but this kind of thing also arises elsewhere. So it arises in many other kinds of problems. You might want to locally model singularities of a space. And what's the good meaning of that? Well, you want a diagram that looks like the following. A diagram of schemes, or more generally stacks, if you like, over this ring of integers, which looks like the following. So you have your model here, and you have some intermediate space, and then you have some kind of other space, and this local thing is, well, that's the symbol we use for Shemur varieties, but it's just supposed to be another space which maybe is easier to understand than this one. And you want these two morphisms to be have the following property. So they should both be smooth and surjective. And then the other property is that you want that there exists a tau cover. Onto the first thing, such and a section. So this will be a section of P. So this is sort of a morphism. You have something like this, and you have some morphism S that goes the other way, and it's a section for that, such that when you compose from here all the way to here, you get an Etal map. So that phi composed with S, which is a morphism from V to this other space, is Etal. Okay. And in particular, these two morphisms here have to be smooth of the same relative dimension. And in particular, another thing that occurs then, if this happens, and is that this would imply, for example, for every point, say, let's say you have a rational point in some, say you're over, say the residue field is some finite field, and you take a rational point there, say, there would exist some point, not uniquely determined, but some point in the local model on the right, such that, say, because these things are etal locally the same, you get a point that you can say the trace of the Frobenius on a nearby cycle, say, of the first point when you construct that with the model M is the same as the trace of Frobenius on the nearby cycles of this local model. But you calculated the stock x0. And this was used kind of implicitly or in the quick part at the end of my second lecture. So anyway, it's kind of a general principle that comes in, but we actually made use of that. The point was that this was the thing that could be calculated in terms of an Iwahori Heck algebra. Okay. So now, I want to explain how you get a diagram like this and how you define a model for the Shmoor varieties attached to the symplectic group or symplectic similitudes and some consequences of that. So at this part, I'm just going to give you a sketch of what's in those papers, which are both very well written, so you can kind of consult them for further details. But there's a lot of kind of deep facts, which I won't be able to do anything besides just state. And this is not meant to be something that you can sort of nod your head at every assertion I make. So this is the case when the group that you're interested in is symplectic similitudes, and I'm looking at gamma 0p level structure, and that's another way of saying k sub p inside here, inside the p-adic points, is going to be the Ewell-Hori subgroup. So that's kind of the that's kind of like the most complicated kind of parahoric subgroup. Okay, so I'm going to fix g greater than or equal to 1, and fix an n and a p. I mean, so the p and g are already fixed, but choose an n that's co-prime with p for level structures. And now I'm going to consider the moduli problem. Consider the following moduli problem. So I'm going to attach to, so this is going to be for S over, actually, just to be safe, let's localize at P. I mean, invert everything else. And so let's consider objects that attach to this S some kind of quadruple, I guess, of data. Set of quadruples up to isomorphism. So what are these things? So these are, going to be dimension G abelian schemes over S. This is going to be a principal polarization, which is going to look like, you know, lambda is, the way I'm going to describe this is slightly different than the terminology of Milne, because this is a way to describe in which sort of makes sense, an arbitrary characteristic, and just more abstract, but basically the same thing. So it's an isomorphism from A to the dual of A. And these objects can be made sense of over any scheme. And it's got an additional property that it essentially comes from some kind of ample line bundle. But anyway, this is a level N structure, which is the same as in the elliptic curve case that I mentioned before. It's just some kind of isomorphism of the n-torsion of A with some z mod n to the g to the 2g power standard model of that. Now these guys are so. This first of all is the p-torsion. These are the points in A that are killed by the endomorphism just adding an element to itself p times. And HI is it's a group scheme which is a P order. So in the sense of group schemes, so it has order P to the I in the sense of group schemes, and it's finite and flat, so it's sort of a reasonable thing. And now the other hypothesis you want to make is that HG is totally isotropic. With respect to the pairing that you can construct using this polarization. So there's a pairing on the p-torsion points of A with respect to the symplectic pairing. So this is like a symplectic form on the space, which is just a finite group scheme with values in essentially, I actually want to think of it as some kind of mu p, I guess. But anyway, the thing is that this is just, there's just some standard thing, which if you know what it is, you know, and if you don't, well, you should just take for granted that a polarization gives you a symplectic pairing, and it's just like what Milne was doing in the complex case. So a polarization there sort of corresponds to a symplectic pairing on the, well, in his case, it was basically on the cohomology of the abelian variety. Anyway, but this is something which you can find in Mumford's book on abelian varieties if you're not familiar with it already. I don't want to mention the definition because it's a little bit too technical. Okay. Now, there's another way. What I want to do to understand this is to try to convert it into another problem, which is the same, but looks a little bit different, and it's going to be more useful. So I'm going to also define another kind of model, which is similar objects, but now you consider sort of chains of abelian schemes by various morphisms. These alphas are not meant to be the same morphism. It's just an alpha, it's a symbol for the morphisms there. So you have now a chain of abelian schemes. You have a single, you actually have two polarizations now. So this is a polarization on A0, and this is a polarization on AG. And there's also still your level structure. And what we want to assume here now is that the kernel of the map from AI to AI plus 1 is order P. And we want to assume also that these are principal polarizations. And this is, again, a level N structure. And we want one extra condition, which is a little bit tricky. And I'll denote it by saying it's like a circle. What it is that if you take this diagram, you can go around a kind of square, a circle, going around the diagram that looks like the following. So here you can apply the polarization here, and you get to the dual abelian variety, and then you take the duals of everything, and so that sort of reverses the arrows. And then you get to this, and then you can take the inverse of the polarization gamma zero, which is invertible because it's a principal polarization. And so the point is that going around this is always P times the identity for every I, or equivalently for any I. And, I'm not going to completely explain that. It's sort of a way to capture the fact that HG is totally isotropic. If you forget about this inner stuff here, just consider one morphism from here to here. This is, let me say what the morphism is between these two models. So there's two modified problems, and I claim that they're the same. So what I want to do is give you the way to go back and forth between them. So you can go from A to A prime by sending, you have a sort of chain of abelian schemes, and you have two polarizations, and you have your level structure. And you send that to just the first guy, and you keep the same polarization on that guy and the same level structure, and you set HI equal to the kernel of alpha to the I from A0 to AI. And so that will give you a sort of increasing thing of finite p-power group schemes inside the p-torsion. Then if you want to go the other direction, so now you're starting with A, lambda, I, and now a chain of H's. So here you just set, you can kind of do the obvious thing, so you set AI equal to A mod HI, and then you have sort of the natural maps. Since these things are increasing, you kind of get the natural maps And it turns out that this is an isomorphism. So actually, I'm not going to completely explain it, but de Jong explains it in his paper. So the point is now that this is just like the analog of what I was doing for pairs of elliptic curves. In fact, you can see it becomes much simpler when you're looking at just elliptic curves like I did before. So there's two ways to think about gamma zero p level structure on sort of elliptic curves. One thing is to do it the way I was doing it in the lectures, which is you take two elliptic curves and you consider an isogeny between them of degree p, and that's the same as saying that there's the kernel is some order p subgroup inside the first one. So it's sort of giving the isogeny is the same as giving that subgroup, and we call that subgroup H. So there's sort of only one H there. So in that case, it's sort of clear that they're the same picture. Okay, so now the reason that it's better to think of this one here called A is that now we can apply a kind of linear algebra construction to this whole diagram and get kind of a diagram of linear algebra objects, which will look sort of like what we want it to look like. It will look like the local model that I wrote down for GLN last time. So now the next step is to apply the functor. Well, what can you do to a bunch of abelian schemes over an arbitrary base? I mean, you can't take, singular cohomology. You can't even take L-adic cohomology. It won't be reasonable if you do that. But what you can do is take Dirac cohomology. Okay, so you can apply the functor H1 Dirac. And the abstract way to think of that is that you have an abelian scheme with the maps from A down to S. And then you can kind of take the push forward of that thing of there's a kind of complex living on A, the complex of Taylor differentials, and you can push that down and take the first cohomology of that complex. And so now what you get is so I'm going to apply this to the moduli problem A. And what you get is what's going to be called a gamma zero p system. So what it looks like is this is a contravariant functor. So what it does is these things here are all locally free OS modules of rank 2G. So what you get is a bunch of things going the other direction. You get a bunch of locally free things going and morphisms between them going the other way. And you also get two symplectic forms. I'm going to describe these in a second. So these are, let me describe what these things are. So in this case, like for example, this one is H1 Dirac of the first thing in the thing over there. And then the other ones are, corresponding. And what these things are is MI is a locally free OS module of rank 2G, and the condition about the morphisms being, essentially the morphisms are degree P, so that means that the co-kernel of the map going from here to there, so from MI plus 1 to MI, is locally free OS mod POS of rank 1, module of rank 1. And now these guys here are Q0 is something, it's a symplectic pairing on the module M0, so you get that, and you get this other one corresponding to that comes from the other polarization. So you get MG. So these are non-degenerate alternating bilinear forms. So they're symplectic pairings. And finally, the last thing you get is that the analog, let me just write this over here, the analog of the circle holds. So in other words, if you take a diagram like this and you're imposing the condition that going around this, starting at any place here and going around the circle, is the morphism multiplication by P, that's the same statement is going to hold when you apply this functor. And so you just consider, so that's the analog is the sort of thing you get when you apply this functor to that diagram. And a bunch of data like this, where these are MO modules which satisfy all these things, that will be called a sigma zero P system. And now the thing is that there's essentially, upright somorphism locally, there's only one such object. So this is a linear algebra thing. And now if you want to study them, you can study them purely in the framework of just linear algebra. So you can kind of ask yourself the question, how do you classify all such objects? So let me state, first of all, the first thing is that there exists a kind of obvious choice of such things. So there exists a standard gamma zero P system, and I'm going to call it lambda star, but with a tilde, because it's a little bit different from the lambda I was using yesterday when I talked about local models for GLN, so I'm putting a tilde on it. But what this is that you have you want a chain that looks like this. Plus all those properties. You want all those properties to be satisfied. But one thing you can do is you can take all these things to be equal. So take, in this case, take all of them to be equal to the same, so to speak, space over OS. So you have OS is basically a ring or a sheaf of rings, and you have that to the 2G power. And then you can put all of the alphas to be, those are going to be just given by the matrix, which is the following matrix. So let's say pi inside OE is a uniformizer. And so what you can consider is a matrix which is pi in the lower left corner, zeros there, and one in the super diagonal. And this has a property that if you this is a 2G by 2G matrix. So if you compose this itself with itself 2G times, you'll just get the diagonal matrix with P's down in the diagonal, which is just multiplication by P. So that's sort of the reasonable thing to take if you want to go around a circle like this and end up with multiplication by P. And it turns out that if you just take the standard, one other thing we have to define is just the standard symplectic pairing for both of these guys. So these guys are going to set both equal to the same standard guy. So so Q0 and QG are both given by the skew symmetric matrix J, which is just the standard one that, well, at least standard for me and standard for a lot of people. You take ones down the anti-diagonal there and minus ones down the anti-diagonal there, and zeros everywhere else. And it turns out this is a gamma zero P system which you can just check easily. And now the facts that are non-trivial are that essentially that there's only one locally, and that the automorphisms of this standard guy actually is a smooth group scheme. So these are not obvious facts. But all of the facts that I'm mentioning, I just want to say, I mean, in those two papers, they're basically explained, at least in De Jong, he explains the proofs of these, and then in Go and Genestier, actually apply these results to give some new results. But Rappaport and Zink, when their general theory of local models, they have to generalize everything, so to speak, to arbitrary PEL-type Shamur varieties. So this is still like the most basic first case that anyone would have to look at. Before you wanted to read Rappaport and Zink's big fat book, you'd really want to understand this. So this is why I'm doing it. So here are the facts. okay, so any two gamma zero P systems are locally, in the Zariski topology actually, locally isomorphic. And the second one is that the automorphisms of this standard guy, I mean, you can make that into a group scheme, a group functor. It's obvious. It's obviously a group functor. In other words, you consider this diagram, and you can sort of consider this over any S, and you consider families of morphisms to itself, which commute with everything and preserve all the properties. And that's obviously a group functor, but it's not obviously smooth. But it turns out it's representable by a smooth group scheme. A smooth affine group scheme. And it's a little bit related to Bruhat-Tietz group schemes. But it's not quite the same thing. So so note that if you were to, I mean, if E is just equal to QP, for example, then you can take the E points of this thing. You can plug into E. And it turns out, when I say automorphism, I mean it sort of fixes the symplectic pairings up to a scalar. So the group that comes out, and it turns out also when you're looking in characteristic zero like this, then, I mean, there's essentially only one guy that matters. Only one automorphism matters. All these other things will be injective morphisms. And so you're just looking at single self-morphisms of vector space with the symplectic pairing, but you're asking it to preserve it up to a scalar. So what you get here is just the group GSP2G of QP. And you can also, if you look at the, I mean, I should write QP here. If you look at the same thing, but now look at the ZP points, you get the standard Iwahori. So it's kind of, it's related to the Bruhat-Tietz group scheme. But I'm not going to say any more about that. Okay, so now one extra thing that occurs is you get some extra structure when you construct a gamma zero P system from a chain of abelian varieties like that. You get some extra thing which lies inside these things, and that's called the Hodge filtration. So what you can do when you look at Dirac cohomology, you might remember that Dirac cohomology of a smooth projective variety over C has a nice decomposition. And that decomposition doesn't always hold an arbitrary characteristic for Dirac cohomology, but there's always some kind of filtration. And that's what we get. So we get an extra structure on gamma zero P systems coming from a chain of abelian varieties like that. And namely, what it is that you can define for each I, you get this is like the part that will sit, it will map inside the Dirac cohomology. And moreover, it's I mean, so remember, this is rank 2G, and this thing will automatically be rank G. So it's a locally free OS module of rank G sitting inside this 2G space. And a few other facts is that when you do that, the first, when you have those polarizations that you have at 0 and G, and these guys will automatically be isotropic with respect to those. So and I'm not going to explain this, but it's also, I don't think, completely obvious. So these are isotropic. They're totally, totally isotropic with respect to the pairings you get from the polarizations. And this thing is what's, you know, called Q0, and this is what we're calling QG. And the other thing is that, and this is a really non-obvious fact, that the filtration inside here sort of controls the deformation theory. It controls the deformation theory of, you know, abelian schemes, basically. So there's a, the precise statement is not that complicated, but I'm not going to really give it. I'm just going to say this is Grothendieck, now called something like Grothendieck messing. Theory. And this is used, I'll tell you where it's used in a second. But the point is now you can use this extra structure and try to add it to this linear algebra thing that we've just constructed and call that the local model and hope that it's actually a local model of the singularities. A is a torsor. Yeah, there's a. So it's not exactly a torsor, but it's a. So yeah, you can forget. You can take A, and then you can look at the map, which just goes to the AG when you forget the. And this is some representable by proper. I mean, it's like a proper thing, and but I mean the fibers are more or less like these flags. It's yeah, these things are both representable. I mean, I'm taking level n structure, right? I mean, I've taken level n structure on both. Well, this is the thing we're talking about, right? And this is just the thing is when you forget about the chains of. Yeah, this is also representable. I mean, one way you have to use this, that this is representable to justify that this is. What you do is you show that this is representable first, and then you show this is relatively representable. And then you can deduce, I mean, so you get properties of this by looking at this. So that's the first thing that de Jong does. He shows that this map is, relatively representable morphism. Okay. But I mean, the fibers, if you think about it, they're flags. They're not really groups. It's not really a torsor front under a group. Okay. Okay, where was I? Oh, yeah. So now we want to use this extra structure as a guideline to try to define what should be a local model, and it should be totally linear algebra kind of object, and then we just hope for the best, right? We just hope that, you know, that we're going to construct some space which actually has some of the data in it that we've got, and then hope that that actually is a local model for, in the sense that we want. So what can we do? We can look at our standard guy and look at all of the sort of things that are like Hodge filtrations inside the standard guy. Okay? So the point is, therefore, we can define the local model to be, the points are going to be given by families of things. Now you have your standard gamma 0p system, and now we just consider things inside which look as if they came from Hodge filtrations. So we're just going to impose the same linear algebra conditions as we had over there, the first two things. So these things are fixed, and we're looking at the spaces of G plus 1 tuples such that, first of all, Fi inside this thing is R locally, OS locally, locally on F, a direct factor of rank G. And then we also have that the two guys here should be totally isotropic. Isotropic with respect to the standard pairing which comes from that matrix J. And just like in the GL By the way, this thing I'll be referring to as the GFP2G local model attached to the coweight that it's attached to is the minuscule coweight 1 repeated G times, 0 repeated G times. And just like before with GLN, like I said last time, when you consider such objects, I mean, it's not hard to see in this case that you can show that this thing is a closed subscheme inside a product of Grassmannians. In this case, you're looking at sort of at G planes in 2G space, and you're also imposing a kind of isotropy condition with respect to the symplectic pairing at the ends. And that's what rises naturally when you look at the moduli problem like that over there. Okay, so now we're in a position where we can actually define the local model diagram, and so let's do that. So remember what we want. We want a space that's intermediate between the moduli space we're dealing with and the local model. So we can now define a diagram that looks like this. So this thing is going to be, the S points are just going to be families of things in there. So there's just going to be some tuples of abelian schemes together with some level structure and some polarization. And then together with an isomorphism from the, I should have said that these M's, the M's I'm referring to there, I'm going to call them M of a bullet here. And you can choose an isomorphism to the standard guy. Call this thing Yota. Okay? So it's things like that. And obviously you can just forget. You can do the forgetful morphism where you forget Yota down to AS, so that's one morphism. And the other morphism is that you take the Hodge filtration is something that lives inside there, and you can apply Yota to that, and you'll get a thing that lies in the local model, just by definition. So this goes to the local model by taking this thing to Yota applied to the sequence of Hodge filtrations. And so that's it. That's the diagram. And some properties are really obvious. So one thing that this morphism here is clearly an ought torsor. So this means that every geometric fiber, if you like, is a principal homogeneous space under this thing, base change to the fiber. So that's like saying that, you know, another way to think of it is like it's kind of like you have this sort of free action of this thing on this object, and you kind of mod out by that thing. So you're kind of taking a quotient to get down to here. And so it's obviously smooth and surjective from that, okay, because of properties of this thing. Now, this morphism is also smooth and surjective, although that's not so clear here. But what is clear is that this is clearly ought equivariant. In other words, there's clearly an action of this space on both of these guys. Here it just sort of changes the choice of isomorphism by composition with an automorphism of this thing. And down here it just acts because you have some automorphism group which fixes this thing, so it's moving these guys around. Okay, so these are the things that are obvious. And then the main theorem is that this diagram is a local model diagram. Okay, so theorem. This is now, I mean, in the symplectic case, it's due to de Jong. But in the general PEL case, it's due to Rappaport and Zink in that book that I mentioned last time. And the surjectivity of this map phi, the one on the right, is due to Genestia. Okay, so this is a local model diagram. Okay. Now, okay, I still have some time. I don't want to. Okay, I mean, I think I'm just going to say in words one comment, not write it down. So there's this chain here. You should think of this as a chain of this is a chain of things, G rank G modules, and there's a way to convert this thing into something that looks more like the affine flag variety for the symplectic similitudes. And there, for the symplectic similitudes, you have lattice chains over some function field. All of the lattice chains are lattices of rank 2G, and they all kind of, they're periodic, and they kind of extend forever in both directions. And you also have some condition about them being a self-dual lattice chain, which means like there's like one distinguished guy, which is actually self-dual with respect to, say, this pairing. And the other ones are kind of like flipped by duality. So the dual of one will be this one, and then as you go up and down, it goes like that. And it's a linear algebra exercise to convert this way of phrasing things. If you want to look at the special fiber of this guy, and you want to think of it as lattice chains over the residue field, over the function field over the residue field, then you can kind of go back and forth and do that. And it's worked out in detail in that paper I wrote with Engel, and that's in Compositio that I mentioned before. But it's a little bit, I don't want to explain more than that. But another one thing that becomes clear from that is that if you're not used to thinking of this as the affine flag variety of the symplectic group, then you can use your usual notion and it's still the same. In particular, in the same way, the special fiber of this guy embeds into the affine flag variety of the symplectic group, just in the same way that the local model for GLN embedded into the affine flag variety for GLN, like I explained last time. So, and in particular, the Iwahori subgroup will act on the special fiber. And so what we get from that is that there's, again, that stratification that I mentioned for GLN the other day, this so-called Kottwitz-Rappaport stratification. Oh, what it is? No, I can't explain it because it's not like something... first of all, it comes from, first of all, once you know that there's a, it works the following way. Once you know that P is smooth and surjective, right, which you know because that you've already proved with some work that that automorphism thing is smooth, then that means that whenever you have a smooth and surjective map, there's always a section locally in the tile topology. And so that means you can get, and also because the thing is finite type, you can actually cover it with a single thing, a single tile thing. And then you have to actually prove that that section, when you compose it with the other morphism, is still étale. And that's an extra argument that won't be true in general, but is true in this particular case. It's essentially, De Jong has a very good explanation of this, which is easier to read than Rappaport and Zinks. And it's basically like you have to show that two local rings are equal, and you're basically expressing them both as some kind of formal power series over some ring, and the other one is a formal power series with the same variables over a different ring. And you know the formal power series are equal, and you want to show that the rings are coefficients are equal. And so you need some extra condition to ensure that. And you have to check that, and then you can work get it from there. Okay. all right, so now the point is that the Kottwitz-Rappaport stratification on the special fiber of the local model, so I'm going to write that this way, induces this Kottwitz-Rappaport stratification on the special fiber of the, on this. So in other words, we're going to write this as a finite union over certain elements in the so-called Kottwitz Rappaport strata, but another way to write this is this: what I described before was this certain combinatorially explicit set of elements in the extended affine vowel group indexed by this thing called the admissible set, and then you're looking at something here. And what we know about these guys is that they're each smooth of dimension, the length of W. And the way you get them is, well, by using this picture here. So here you have inside here you have some stratum. You had the sort of analogous stratum inside the local model. And when you take the pre-image there, because the thing is equivariant, the pre-image will, you'll get a stratification of the pre-image. And then because each of the strata is equivariant, you can sort of quotient out on each stratum, and you'll get a stratification down here. So that's how that works. And for all these things, these are locally closed. The same closure relations hold here as held in the other side, which was basically given by the Bruhout order. So closure relations in the affine flag variety. And you also can say a variety of other things. So let me just explain some of the consequences now that you get for free from this. So one thing for free is that we can know the number of irreducible components. The number of irreducible components of the special fiber, so that's something that's going to have some, you know, complicated nature, it's hard to understand, is the same as the number of irreducible components because the closure relations are parallel. They're the same as the number of irreducible components in the local model special fiber, and that's just equal to the number of, if you remember, the admissible set is exactly this is the set of elements in the affine, extended affine vowel group, which are less than some translation in the Bruhout order, some translation in the vowel group. Now we're looking at the symplectic group, so it's the vowel group of the symplectic group of mu, the orbit of that. So that's, now mu is just, and this is the number of elements inside . But of course, if you remember how the vowel group of the symplectic group works, what it does is it sort of permutes chains of integers here sort of in the same way, and then it also allows to switch things. So what can you get? You can put these ones, so to speak, anywhere. You can sort of move any number of these ones over to this side. So you just get 2 to the g, irreducible components. Another thing is you can describe the smooth locus. Yeah, this is the Shamor variety. This is the special fiber of the Shamor variety. I mean, I think you're thinking of the connected components. Yeah. If you wanted to find this moduli problem, but just one connected component of it, you have to add in an nth root of unity. Actually, that's a good point. That's a good point. I'll have to think about it, actually. I don't know. No, that's a good point. It might not... I don't know. I'll just have to think about it. All right. Okay, so... Yeah, all right. So maybe take this with a grain of salt. It's probably right, but I'll get it right in my manuscript. Okay, now one other thing is that, definitely you can still describe the smooth locus. Yeah. So the smooth locus is just equal to the Kottwitz-Rappaport strata, the union of the Kottwitz-Rappaport strata corresponding to the translations. So the translations in the admissible set, which again is just index, it's just one-to-one correspondence with this thing here. And the reason is that I'm going to explain in a second that any code, you can see just from a combinatorial exercise, so this is just going to boil down to some combinatorics of the Brouhaha order, that any codimension 1 stratum is contained in 2 irreducible components. So first of all, I mean, the union of these translation strata is smooth. And so your question is, are there any other strata that are kind of like in the smooth locus besides those? And the answer is no, because any other stratum that's of codimension 1 or more is contained in at least 2 irreducible components. So that means they're going to kind of have some kind of, they're going to be at an intersection of two things, and therefore they can't be in the smooth locus. So you can see from combinatorics, which are quite easy, and this will be proved in detail in the manuscript. You can see that any codimension greater than or equal to 1 stratum is contained in greater than or equal to 2 irreducible components. Okay. And then the final thing I want to say is that, okay, so there's some more payoff. So this is supposed to be stuff A about this non-singular locus. Oh, one other point is that you can also see that there exists a codimension 2 stratum. This is, again, just from combinatorics. You can see there exists a codimension 2 stratum in 3 irreducible components. And this implies already that you're not in a divisor with normal crossing situation. So this means that the special fiber is not globally a union of divisors with normal crossings. And so you get some geometric information like that for free. I'll show you that which stratum that is in a second when I put a picture on there. Now, the final thing, which I don't really have time to really explain, is what Ngoin and Genestier do. And what they do is they study the relation of this Kottwitz-Rappaport stratification with the stratification by P rank. So the P rank, so this is now just a brief, very brief discussion of Genestier and Ngoin's paper. So the P rank of an abelian variety is equal of an abelian variety over, say, FP or FP bar, is the number of points which are P torsion. So literally the number as a set. And it turns out this number is always, it's between 0 and G if G is the dimension. So unlike the complex case, you can't have 2G points which have P torsion. But if it has, the P rank is this, and if it's G, you call A ordinary if it's sort of as big as possible. So if the P rank is equal to G. Okay, so now here's the theorem of those guys. It's that for every element in the Kottwitz-Rappaport stratification, so that's, here I'm going to write this element, this is in the extended affine vowel group, so I write lambda as something, some kind of translation, and W is something in the finite vowel group for symplectic group. The P rank is constant on the corresponding College Rappaport stratum. So, on this guy. And moreover, the P rank is determined by some explicit combinatorial thing about this element. So, and moreover, the P rank is it's given by the number RW, where 2RW is equal to the number of it's the number of elements I in the set from 1 to 2G, which are fixed by W. So it only this P rank only depends upon the finite vowel group part of the element indexing the stratum. So there's this beautiful formula for the P rank, which is also independently discovered by Ulrich Gertz. And so this actually gives you a lot of information for free, so to speak. I mean, when you prove this, which is not that difficult, then you can sort of automatically see that from properties of the Kollwitz-Rappaport stratification that the ordinary locus is open and dense in the moduli problem. So that was like a classical or older problem that people studied, and I think they studied it in a different way, which was actually harder. So this is a case where, at least from my limited knowledge of these things, it seems simpler to look at the bad reduction thing than at the good reduction question. So let me just state that what I'm getting at. The corollary is that the ordinary locus is the union. So that means the points in the moduli problem where the A has is ordinary in this sense is the union of the strata that correspond to translations. And the reason is just very simple from this formula. You see, for if the ordinary, if the thing is ordinary, then the P rank is going to be G. That means this number has to be G. That's, in other words, as large as it can be, which means that every element is fixed by W, which means W is the identity. So that's exactly telling you that the only strata that can have correspond to ordinary things are are these guys. And so therefore, the ordinary locus is open and dense. And so the same, you can use the same argument to prove the usual statement that people were worried about: when you don't have bad reduction, we have good reduction. So now this automatically implies that. So it gives another proof. And so now you can, it's also easy with this formula to write down P ranks. So if you remember, see if I can actually draw this in a decent way. Apparently not. I'm doing this because I don't think I have time to put up the transparency. Does anyone mind staying for two or three extra minutes? Okay, I'll put up the transparency then. Become really smeared somehow. Okay. Okay, so let me remind you that these dots represent the translations in the vowel group orbit of the minuscule coate, which is just 1100 here. So this is for GSP4. So there's those four guys. And so these extreme things here, these guys with length 3 correspond to the the translation, the strata indexed by the translation things. And so the whole variety is of dimension 3. And this tells you how the different closure relations in the strata are given. You can read off from this. Like, for example, if you look at one of these guys here, you can just pick one, and you can say, okay, all the different strata that are less than that, well, there's these guys, and there's this one, and there's this one, there's this one, and it's probably all. And, yeah, I think that's all. And in any case, you can see from inspection some of the things that I was asserting over there. For example, take a codimension 1 thing. So let's start with the first set of assertions I was making. Take a codimension 1 thing like this, right here. You can see that it's in the Bruja, it's less than this guy, and it's also less than this guy, and nothing else. If you take any codimension 1 thing, you'll take this one, for example. It's less than this one, and it's less than this one. You can see just from the reduced word expressions that's the case. And so each codimension 1 thing is in 2, and in fact exactly 2 irreducible components. And because properties of the Bruja order, there's like sort of no gaps in the Bruja order, right? So that means if you take something codimension greater than 1, it has to be in a codimension 1 thing, and therefore it's in 2, at least 2 things. So that's why the first statement was true about the non-singular locus. Okay, now what about P ranks? Well, from this point, these expressions are not given in the convenient way to use this formula over here. You'd have to take each one of these reduced expressions and write it in this form, a translation times a finite vowel group element. And there's this element tau, which, because we're not dealing with a simply connected group here, we're dealing with actually GSP4, this tau actually is not the identity. It's labeling the base alcove, but it's actually a non-trivial automorphism, which flips that triangle like this. Okay, and that corresponds to a certain matrix which does not have determinant 1, but or it doesn't. It's not symplectic similitude. Doesn't have the similitude value 1, and so you have to write that matrix out, and then you can sort of use that information to write all of these guys in the right form. And using this formula, then you can see the following thing. I guess I'm going to have to draw a picture. I want to just write down the P ranks in a very rough way here. So and then we have to do this guy and this guy. Sorry. There we go. Okay, and so the P ranks look like the extreme guys here all have P rank 2. And actually, there's one weird surprise that occurs. I have to look at my picture here. So 1100001 and 1. So, if you think about it, there's one odd thing in this picture. You stare at it long enough, you'll notice that the P rank does not depend on the length alone, because there's this strange thing here, where the P rank jumps down by 2. Anyway, so in general, the P rank is a little bit, it's not given by simply the length, it's some more complicated thing. So that's it, I mean. You can do that, of course, in any case now. So this Ngo and Genestier paper answered several questions of de Jong, and it was all quite easy somehow using this Kalitz-Rappaport stratification. Okay, so thanks for your attention. I guess that's all I'm going to say.